And our subject is gaining and holding on to assurance. Here is a prayer, or at the very least a desire, of the Apostle Paul for those believers in Rome. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's almost a definition of Christian assurance. It is the way to gain assurance, to increase it, and to maintain it, to hold on to it. Well, we're going to begin our thinking on this subject with that phrase, the God of hope. Now the God of hope, the God who is the author of hope. But let me define hope, which we had cause to do very recently in these services. It is the crown jewel of assurance or certainty of salvation. It's the very essence of it, hope. But it's not our idea of hope, the way in which we generally use the word today. Hope may mean nothing more than a mere possibility, a not too sure wish or desire. But that's not the meaning of hope as we find it in the New Testament, and particularly in the epistles of Paul. The Greek word translated here, hope, literally is the word to anticipate. It's anticipation, and we may read that. Now, the God of anticipation, and it's anticipation with delight, with certainty. So it's a certain hope that is in mind when you read this word in the New Testament. Now, the God of anticipation and certainty, the God who gives you strong anticipation of all God's blessing that lies before you, and particularly in the eternal glory. Now the God of hope or anticipation fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So first of all, I'd like to deal with this, that God is the author. He is the God of anticipation, the God who has made anticipation for his people and provides it to us. Redemption is not a human idea. Well, we know that well enough. The whole process of redemption is something which stands very much against what human beings desire or want. We do not want a gracious redemption. We want a deserved redemption. Human pride is such, by nature, we are offended by a God wholly provided salvation. The idea that Christ had to come into this world, enter into a human frame, become man, the God-man, suffer and die in indescribable agony on a cross, to bear literally in his own body and his holy soul the eternal punishment of sin on behalf of all who would be saved, in order to purchase by that the right to pardon and forgive us freely. Don't tell me that, the human heart says. I don't want to know that. I don't want to have to grovel before God as a needy, hopeless, lost sinner who must receive freely a salvation which has been deserved and earned for me and worked for me by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. I want something I can be proud of. And that is why all religion of human devising, all religion which has been invented, concocted by the human mind, is works religion. Anything other than the faith which is in Christ, the Christian faith, is not a religion about free salvation and about grace. It is a religion about works. Either you have to be smart enough to operate the techniques of meditation and so on that will bring you into touch with the supposed God who is within you, or else you have to be capable enough to muster your own holiness and to carry out all the ceremonies and works that God may require of you, or do the good works he may require of you to earn salvation for yourself. That's what the human heart wants. So we human beings, left to ourselves by nature, will devise a salvation which gives us credit, which tells us, I can do it, I can deserve, and we are offended by the salvation which God gives. So God is the author of anticipation of hope in this sense, that he unmistakably has given us a free salvation which enables us to have a hope, a strong certainty of heaven, and to enjoy him now and eternally. God is the author of anticipation, certainty that we are saved because we've trusted in Christ. He's the author in that Christ, who is equal with the Father, has come and secured that salvation. He's the author of the Word that tells us of this eternal certainty for all who have trusted in Christ. So anticipation is from God. What is the reason for it? Why has God chosen to enable all who repent of sin and come to Christ and trust in him and experience conversion to him? Why has God given us this privilege, this provision of being able to be certain? Well, it's partly to glorify him. You know, I'm sure, that in the book of Job, we see this construction that Satan interacts with God. Well, he doesn't, of course, but this is how it's put to us in the book of Job to enable our human understanding and to give us an insight into something very profound. And Satan is depicted as saying to God, Job does not trust you for nothing. He does not believe in you for nothing. He believes in you only on account of what you give him, his riches, his family, his possessions, his power, his influence, his status, because you have so blessed him, and he believes in you for what he can get. Let me take it all away from him. Let me remove all his comforts and his influence and his riches and his status, and he'll curse you, and he will not believe in you. And Satan, by the way, we understand from the scriptures, believes that everyone who believes in God is a phony. We do not have real love for God, desire for him. And everybody who professes to be saved by Christ and believe in him and love him and walk with him, no, it's not true, Satan thinks. It's all a deception. Every human being is really only interested while he thinks he's getting something from God on earth, something to satisfy him. Well, therefore, what God has done is this. In saving men and women, he gives us assurance of salvation, certainty of heaven. He gives us a clear spiritual focus to look to embrace, to help us to demonstrate our genuineness before him and to maintain our trust, so that Satan is proved wrong and we are seen as people not who only want things on this earth, but who, people who love him and are looking for him and eternal life with him, the Saviour of the world and the God of heaven. And so there's a certainty, assurance. It's as though heaven opens a little and we are given a sight of a portion of what lies ahead, both in life and in heaven, for those who trust in him. So our focus is not earthly, it's heavenward. And that's demonstrated and that's shown. But of course it's for our encouragement also and to help us. So God is the author of assurance, of anticipation, of hope, and it's given to us for definite purposes. so that God will be glorified and we will be encouraged. What's the ground of this anticipation? Supposing you have troubles and you're weighed down and deeply concerned, the troubles might almost overwhelm you, just by way of example. How do you overcome those problems and trust in the Lord and see Him? Well, by anticipation, by reviewing and considering and thanking God for and rejoicing in all the things that God will do in your heart spiritually for you and all the things He has for you eternally. Your focus is spiritual. You don't say to yourself, oh, the only relief for me is to go and find another person who will allow me to cry on his or her shoulder and unbosom my cares and rehearse them thoroughly and feel a little better for it. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ isn't a club in which people simply unload all their woes one to another and try to seek relief that way. Well, that can be the case quite legitimately if your woes and your difficulties are really almost to you insurmountable. You most certainly can get relief from one another, from pastors, from fellow Christians. But no, our first port of call, our first task is to look to Him and to think of all the blessing which comes to us freely from Christ in life and in eternity. It's rather like assurance or anticipation or hope. In this building, for example, we have an emergency lighting system. It's 50 years old, mark you, and it's not powerful enough for modern standards, and the authorities say to us, it's got to be renewed. But however, if it was evening service and it was dark and all the lights went out on occasion because of some power failure from outside or a fire in the building and we needed to be able to see our way out, well, the emergency lights, which you can't see, but they will come on and we'll just about see the exits and find our way out. Well, they have to all be renewed after 50 years and be very much brighter. But anyway, they're enough, as they are. Before that's done, they'll see us out of the building, and it's rather like this. The pressures and the difficulties of life, and the woes and the disappointments that occur, and the temptations and the trials and so on, may overwhelm us. But with anticipation, there's always an emergency lighting system. And whatever happens, you can see your way as a Christian. And you know who you are, and that you're a saved man, and you're a saved woman, and Christ is with you. And you know you have spiritual objectives, and you must stand up and survive. You mustn't collapse. You have the power of God with you. You're not going to let Him down. So with anticipation, you consider that and you look to your future and you get perspective on your problems. And even in your worst moments, it's like an emergency lighting system. Joy and peace are always there. And they'll come up and speak alongside everything that might seem to overwhelm. Same with the lifeboat. Lifeboat will push out in terrible, tumultuous seas, and a great shock wave will come and completely envelop the vessel, and it'll be full of water, but it won't sink because it's packed with flotation measures, with sealed air containers or foam and things like that. It has buoyancy, and it'll stay up. And it's the same with us. Anticipation will always keep us up, and it'll fill us with a measure of joy and peace. And so we'll get our perspective. And there'll be these things to put alongside any troubles and disappointments and distresses, any temptations of Satan. So we have buoyancy, or we have light, And it's always there. We look to these things. So this is the purpose of anticipation. This verse is very precious to us, verse 13. Now the God of hope, the God who is the author of anticipation, the God who gives you anticipation. Well, secondly, I'd like to think of the route to building up anticipation, the route that God has given. It's here in the verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, I'll come to that, in believing. Key words, in believing. So we have a part and God has a part. Let's consider our part, in believing. Joy and peace is God's part. He'll impart it. He'll give it to you. But your part is to believe the word of God, to believe the doctrines. If you believe the doctrines and you keep them ever before you, well, that's your part towards building and keeping and maintaining anticipation, which is assurance. You believe in the fall, the creation, of course, first of all, then the fall of man, and man's lost condition by the fall, and his sad and sorry state, alienated from God and in need of salvation. You believe in his condemnation and your condemnation, as you were by nature before conversion. You believe in God's plan to redeem and to restore his creation, to save a great host of men and women by Christ, second person of the Godhead, who came to make an atonement, to suffer and to die. These are the doctrines. Do you believe them? Do you see them? Do you have them clearly in your mind? Are they ever there? Have you read their details, seen them in the scripture, noticed and recognized them every time? Because they're so frequently recurring. And then, particularly the atonement and conversion, individual, personal conversion, its necessity by repentance and faith in Christ, and the God-given new life, new heart, new nature, and reconciliation with him freely, free salvation through Christ by faith alone. And then the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that once a person is truly converted, he or she can never be lost. God will keep you if you're genuinely saved right to the end. Well, these are the things that you believe, and they're the basis of this anticipation, which is assurance. Now the God of hope, the author of hope, the maker of hope, by the atoning death of Christ, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, or through believing, or in believing, it's the same. As you believe, you will anticipate. God will give you greater anticipation. And not only do you believe in the doctrines, but you believe in the promises that are throughout the scriptures, the promises of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The promises of Christ, you believe them. He is infallible. He is holy. He is too infallible to break a promise. He is too holy to break a promise. He has all the power he requires. He's God, infinite power, to keep his promises. And if he promises that if you come and if you trust in him, you will be saved, you may be sure that promise will be kept. There's a couplet in an old hymn. His honour and his name's at stake to save me from the burning lake. Of course, because he wouldn't be God if he broke a promise. We believe the promises. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You believe the doctrines, then you believe the promises, and so you have strong anticipation. And you believe not only the doctrines and the promises, you believe the evidence. Of course, this is much inferior to the doctrines and the promises, but to help you a little more, you have the evidence of the power and the goodness of God. Remember when he saved you? Remember when he brought you to himself? Do you remember that time when sin, your great friend, became sin, your terrible enemy? When you had a new heart and a new way of thinking? When you had a new and enlivened conscience? When your mind was emancipated and you were enabled to understand the gospel and the ways of God? All that is evidence that he has saved you and that he will keep you all the way through to the end. So you think not only of the doctrines and the promises, you think of the evidence and the answered prayer that you've had. Why, there's so much. There are so many things. Don't forget those great answers to prayer. So you have doctrines, promises, and evidence. So the text is true. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's our part. Now thirdly, God's part. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. As we believe, God fills us with all joy and peace. And that means the result, which will be the fourth point, we abound in anticipation. What a perfect definition of assurance for us. Now the God of hope, the author, and through Christ, the purchaser of anticipation. As you believe, through believing, in believing, our part, what he does in response, fill you with all joy and peace, that ye may abound in hope. It's a first, second, third, and fourth point verse. Fill you with all joy. That means complete joy. It's no good being filled only with partial joy. Some people, they may not really be saved, are filled with only partial joy. Well, it means they're not filled, of course. And by partial joy may mean something like this. They've come to see the system of doctrine in the Bible. They've come to see that this alone explains the human race. The doctrine of creation, the doctrine of the fall. They've come to appreciate the plan of God to redeem. They may have come to the doctrines of grace, but they may believe these things only in their head. And they see there is no theory of man in the world that rises to this, that answers all the issues like this does. There are many people, even today, who come to appreciate the great system of biblical doctrine, perhaps the doctrines of grace expounded by Calvin, the interlocking system of doctrinal points which are taught throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. They say, this is marvelous. This is amazing. And this is true. This is how the world is and how it works. It is a fallen world. Well, they take great pleasure in this, but maybe they've never been personally saved. They've got the point, theoretically, but they've never gone to Christ for forgiveness of sin and received the new birth that comes from above and walked with him in communion. And soon enough, they'll lose even their thrill at the doctrinal aspects of the Christian gospel. No, if you believe not only the doctrines, but the promises, and you come to Christ, and you have the evidence written in your heart because you're a changed man, a changed woman, well then you have complete joy. Then, because it's a joy that comes out of communion with Christ, and the proving of him. So there's this term, all joy. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace through believing, in believing, as you exercise your belief in him. All joy and peace. And peace. Time is going rapidly. And peace. Not inactivity peace. Not the peace of the graveyard. Peace here means peace which comes when the war is over. The war is finished. You had an enemy. He shot at you. He bombed you. And you did the same to him. You couldn't take a trip there to that country because you were at war with that country. There was great hostility and opposition. But now the war is over, and there's peace. Peace in terms of the opposite of war is what is meant here. And what happens in peace? You're no longer firing at each other. You're no longer enemies. You're friends now. You can travel to each other's countries and have protection and peace. You can interact. You can trade. You can do all sorts of things together. Peace as opposed to war, not peace in terms of silence and inactivity, but peace as opposed to war. And that's what is meant here. The God of hope, as you believe, fills you with joy, great happiness and pleasure in anticipation, and peace. You're reconciled with God. You can trade with him. Trade with God? Yes. You call upon him and ask. He pours out his blessing and answers your prayers. It's a form of trade, except that what you pay is worth nothing, and what he gives is worth everything. You're reconciled. You can interact. He will teach you, and you will receive his teaching. You have relief and comfort and confidence, peace. You're in communion with God, the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And here's the outcome. Here's the goal. Here's the result. That ye may abound in hope. The Greek word translated abound strictly should be translated superabound. It's a sort of strung together couple of superlatives. That ye may abound in hope. Our part is to believe, to reflect, to trust in the blessings of God, and particularly the doctrines and the promises and the evidence. That's our part. God's part is to bring us to superabound in hope. The Greek contains the sense of overflowing, being beyond and over. This is even better than abounding. It's even better than having much. Elsewhere, the same word is translated more abundantly. Enough and to spare. Anticipation fills your heart and your soul. We do our part in believing. God gives this strong anticipation. And let me begin just to move to conclusion with this thought. What are you anticipating? Well, you're anticipating two areas in the main. You're anticipating the rest of your life. This is not only about glory, and you're anticipating eternal glory. They're two distinct things. Sometimes we think hope or anticipation refers only to eternity. No, it refers also to the remainder of your life. You're walking this pilgrimage. The Lord is with you. You have communion with him. He's going to hear you, direct you, guide you, answer you, use you in his service, bless you and help you. And you are anticipating all the rest of your life, however long, however short, whatever remains, you're assuring yourself of God's hand being upon you. What you're going through now, perhaps, is training you and enlarging you and preparing you for some privilege or some responsibility or some service that God will give you. Maybe so. But you anticipate that God knows. You're in His providence, in His provision, in His care. And you have the rest of your life, much or little as it may be, remaining in order to experience His power and His goodness and His guidance to you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to enlighten you, increase your knowledge and your depth and your grasp. He's going to deliver you many times. You'll call upon Him and you'll know His certain blessing. He's going to strengthen and prepare you. He's going to do things in your life that will bring you to prayer and call you to Him, to call upon Him. And you'll bless Him when the outcome is a stream of evidence of His goodness. Well, He's going to do all these things, and you anticipate this. My anticipation is not a season of relative calm. It's the anticipation of the many things that God in His great goodness will do in and through me and all His people right to the end of the journey, by which we shall prove Him and love Him and marvel at Him and know Him. So the God of hope is the God who will give us anticipation for this life as well as for the next. And then, of course, the moment of our death, or the moment that Christ is revealed, whichever is going to be our experience. But to enter into the reception hall of heaven, what an amazing thing. You cannot picture it. A vast and an amazing reception hall. And there we shall see Christ. And there we shall see all those who we've known who've gone before us. Even if we go before the Lord's return as souls without bodies into the paradise of Christ, yet the scripture indicates we shall recognize each other and we shall see all those we've known who've trusted in Christ, who've gone before, from the great figures of the Bible to people in our own lives. It's a great reception hall of reconciliation and wonder and amazement and love. And we shall see the angels and, of course, Christ Himself, our visible Saviour. Anticipation of these things. Well, God, by the Spirit, will fill us with joy and peace through believing, so that we abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. Just one final phrase here the apostle gives. It begins the verse with the God of hope. He's the author of hope, the securer, the procurer of hope for His people. And it comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit on the end of the verse. What certainty that if you believe and trust Him, instead of our mithering to each other, though I don't mean that to despise that, because there are times when the knocks we receive, well, it is our privilege to share our burdens and woes. But that's not, as I said, our first port of call. Our first port of call is to believe and to meditate and to think, and God will reward us by the Spirit with a great surge of joy and peace in anticipating His blessing in life and in eternity. But it's the assurance of this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, so much has been done. Christ became incarnate, entered into the world, the miracle of the incarnation by the power of the Spirit. He was raised from the dead by his own power, yes, and by the power of the Spirit. When you were converted, your stubborn, hard, resistant, rebellious human heart was melted down. How? What could have done that? The power of the Spirit. Life came into you by the power of the Spirit. You've seen it at work. The evidence of the power of the Spirit is around us. And by that certain and infallible power, we shall be made to superabound in hope, anticipation. It'll be there. It'll see me through everything. It'll give me tremendous perspective in every situation in life. What God will continue to do and what he will do in eternity and what I shall receive by grace alone. So that's the verse. God, the author of anticipation, the securer of anticipation, the route to it is to believe the doctrines, the promises, the evidence. Then God, for his part, will again bless us with all joy and peace, interaction, communion, the outcome of which will be even greater, superabounding anticipation or hope, which will thrill our souls and carry us through. It's the essence of assurance in one verse. It's what we need. Go home and read the verse. Try and keep the parts clear in your mind. It's the route to hope and assurance for the rest of life's journey.